It's Sunday morning and welcome to another edition of the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Camerton. And not a bad morning out there still. We're getting the remainders of, I suppose you would say, fall. Winter hasn't quite yet arrived. And this morning we're going to bring you an interesting program, I hope, which is every Sunday morning anyway. But today we're going to share the story of Scott Shelley. And Scott Shelley was the winner of a Guinness competition on a remarkable way to do something. And it was open to Canadians. And only six were winners. And Scott's going to tell us about that. The movie 32A is the Irish entry at the EU Film Fest here on Thursday evening. And we actually have tickets to give away to that through the website. But we will have the director, Marion Quinn, and two of the actresses, Ailish McCarthy and Sophie Jo Wasson, coming on live from Ireland on the phone in the second half of the show. But I do need to tell you on some of the things that are going on. When it comes up to giveaways, by the way, go on the web. We still have some tickets to give away for the Ottawa Little Theatre, and that's for I Love You, You're Perfect Now Change, and that's from December 1st to the 19th. It's about the trials and tribulations of being single, of dating, marriage loss and heartbreak, and they're hilariously explored in a phenomenally long-running Broadway show. And you'll be left the show thinking, were they talking about me? But you can get tickets if you don't win tickets at the box office there at 613-233-8948 and ottawalittletheatre.com. Of course, this afternoon, Scotland Tonight, that's gets underway, and that is over at the Bronson Centre, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that later on. Shining City is ongoing, and that is at 2.30 this afternoon, but it's also on tonight. No, it's not on tonight, just 2.30 this afternoon. Brilliant production, John P. Kelly's. Monday, of course, is Irish Language Class and Irish Dancing at Blessed Sacrament, and that's with Coltus. And on Tuesday, you have the Seniors Drop-In. And Wednesday, Tuesday night also, the British Child's Family History Society Irish Research Group meet at the McNab Community Centre. And on Wednesday night, Irish Set and Katie Dancing, and that's at Villa Marconi, 1026 Baseline Road. Of course, Shining City is at 8 p.m. on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, right through to Saturday. And I noticed on Saturday there's an Irish versus South Africa rugby telecast live, and that'll be down at the Heart and Crown at 9 a.m. on Saturday morning. And I want to thank the Heart and Crown for their ongoing support of this program. Without their help, we would not be on the air.
We put out the call to Canadians, and we asked them to define the term remarkable. Tell us what they thought was remarkable. The answers we got in were that remarkable is defined in different ways by everyone. So what is remarkable to you may be something different to you. We got over 800 entries to this contest, and some of them were people wanted to go to Ireland and go to the place where Guinness was born. Others wanted to take cross-Canada trips. So we got such a wide range of submissions. One of them really stood out, and that was Scott Shelley's, obviously. And I'm going to let him get into his submission, but the reason why we picked his submission is because it really, we judged them based on the characteristics of Arthur Guinness himself, which are dedication, effort, ingenuity, and inspiration. So Scott's submission, when we read it, we were like, wow, this is totally something that Arthur Guinness himself would pick. Particularly the effort that Scott wanted to go through today for such a great group of friends and people, that really stuck out to us. And he was one of six people chosen from over 800 entries. So that's pretty remarkable. And that's what the program is all about. So wanted to say thanks again for coming. Enjoy your time today. So I'll turn the floor over to Scott.
Thank you for everybody that came today. And I'm going to keep it pretty brief. I don't want food to get cold. And so welcome to all my guests. Thank you for joining me today. This is a special day for me and a special year for Guinness. It's been 250 years of history for this wonderful beer. I originally entered this contest July 13th, 2009, with an entry to Guinness Be Remarkable Contest, and it read as follows. I would love to cook for a special selected group chosen by you to be hosted by myself. I would love to share my personal recipes, which incorporate one of my favorite beers, Guinness. Chili, burgers, and even dessert. I have always dreamt of showing my experience with cooking Canadian food, summertime barbecues, and a cold beer. Does it get any better? You will be delighted, and I too will be very happy to live a dream and watch it develop that day. So many ironic little things that make it special for me. About 5 years ago, we dreamt of actually buying this venue with a few of my friends, Derek being one of them, turning it into a quaint, relaxed restaurant. Well, that never came to full term, but today I'm cooking in it. So it's a little bit of a prayer answered, just not all of it, which only inspires me to just give that much more and to strive for. Today my entry comes to life, and I am so pleased to have you all to sample a few Guinness-inspired dishes. This is the part where everybody should say, Today I have created four Guinness-inspired dishes. The small but mighty mini gourmet Guinness burger appetizer you have already sampled, and I hope you've enjoyed them. The three remaining dishes will be served as follows. A Guinness straw soup to warm you on a cold day, maybe rainy autumn afternoon, or perhaps a fiery Guinness to heat you up from head to toe after a hike on colorful leaf path, or that same path in winter that leads to a frozen pond. Nothing warms you like comfort food. I wanted to create recipes that anyone can do. Not to dine out, but to stay at home and share the stories and laughs with family and friends. The final dish, a cranapple stuffed pork loin with rosemary potatoes and harvest legumes, a very special treat for you to commemorate and close this event. In closing, I would like to thank Alana Stone from Guinness Diageo for their generous gift and for making this possible today. They're very generous and very easy to work with, just like the beer. Too easy, I know. This day wouldn't be possible without them. And join me in a round of applause for Alana, to thank her for being here. And last but not least, applause for Lauren Costantino, a Veritas Communications, for all her hard work in planning this event. The best place ever. So relaxed, beautiful, lighting, everything else is going on out there. That doesn't matter. Right here is what counts right now. Thank you very much for everything we did, and please enjoy yourself today and relax. I think we all deserve this in an ever-changing and fast-paced world that we live in. Thank you to everyone.
Come all you thirsty tourists and travelers everywhere, till I sing to you a verse or two in a grand old Irish air. It's all about our famous stout that's known the world wide, and it's made for you, this lovely brew down by the Liffey side. If you want to see their grand brewery at the top of James Street, don't make a fuss, just take the bus or travel on your feet. That well-known sight is on the right, at the door there stands a guide who will point out to you where the stout is made down by the Liffey side. Their barge is neat nigh Watling Street, rock gently to and fro, with wind and sling the barrels swing into the hatch below it. With holes and decks full of double decks, they sail down with the tide, all specially made for the foreign trade down by the Liffey side. And if you strayed last Nevin way when some old friend is dead, the mourners stand with hat in hand as the funeral prayers were said. The graves are filled, the tears they spill, their eyes they quickly dry. What a pint or a two in the old brine barrow down by the Liffey side. Come fill your glasses to the brim and drink a toast with me to the noble house of Guinness and their world famed brewery. Our Irishmen are proud of them, their products true and tried. Long me did live and in climbing give on a boy the leafy side.
Alana Stone of Diageo, you're in Canada. Tell us about the event that we've just participated in and the event that Diageo have sponsored across the country celebrating 250 years of Guinness from 1759 to 2009.
This year being the 250th anniversary of Guinness, we ran a campaign in Canada called Be Remarkable Canada, where we asked Canadians to tell us what they thought would be a remarkable experience. Of course, one person's definition of remarkable is a different than the next person's. So we asked Canadians via social media what they would want their remarkable experience to be. Scott Shelley from Ottawa, who is a machinist by day, loves to cook for his friends and family, and he wanted his remarkable experience to be an opportunity to do that using Guinness as a key ingredient in some of his recipes.
Scott is one of six across the country, I understand. What kind of numbers did this attract nationally?
We had 800 submissions across Canada.
Right. And what was somewhat typical, or what type of remarkable experience that people want to share, or what was travel, or was it like this? Obviously was very unusual. What Scott brought him to the top, as we heard earlier on, what was normal?
I don't think there was anything that was the norm, but we did have a lot of different submissions. Some were around travel, wanting to travel across Canada or to travel to Ireland. That was a common theme. We also had a lot of people who just wanted to have an ordinary day, something that was important or special to them that they wouldn't be able to do without having Guinness's assistance.
And whereas Scott went very, very special and saying he wanted to share something remarkable with close people that were very close to him.
Mm-hmm. That certainly resonated with us as one of the core characteristics of Arthur Guinness, which is what a lot of the submissions, were based on, and one of them was effort. And this really showed us that Scott was putting a lot of effort into doing wonderful things for his family and friends, and that's what we did. We were really happy to be able to have an event where Scott could cook his specially designed recipes for his group of family and friends and give them a really nice experience to share with him.
Now, Alana, you've just got up from sitting around the table, having enjoyed the recipes. Tell us about your experience.
The soup. I love soup. It's a fall day. The leaves are starting to fall. It was really nice to have a squash soup.
Yeah, and just the whole experience of the meal.
It was truly remarkable. Scott's friends are really, really genuinely happy to be here, really happy that he's had a chance to experience this and to have this submission come true for him. Everyone was rooting for him, and the food was fantastic.
And what's your feeling now from a Guinness perspective of having initiated this type of a concept and being able to help someone like Scott achieve a dream?
We are very, very pleased with the way that this program turned out. We wanted to inspire the characteristics of Arthur Guinness. We wanted to bring to life all of the things that Guinness stands for, and I think we really did accomplish that through this program.
Mm-hmm. Well, Anna, thanks, William, for taking the time. I know you're on your way, and I don't want to delay you, and it was a tremendous experience just to have the different foods presented in such a unique way by somebody who had a real passion. I want to thank, on behalf of Mary and myself, the opportunity to participate.
Thank you.
And stay at your Canada for having us.
Shelley was the successful winner of one of the Guinness 250 remarkable prizes. And Scott, we heard there from Alana about Scott's success. And Alana and I are just after enjoying a wonderful meal that Scott prepared. And I'm standing here with Scott Shelley. Scott, congratulations, first of all, on being one of the six Canadians who was successful in the Diageo competition.
Thank you very much.
And I know in chatting earlier on you said, you know, this was just a passion that you really looked forward to.
I do. Yeah, I do have the passion for cooking.
So now that the meal is over other than the coffee, and first of all, tell us what was on the menu.
Well, what was on the menu, we started off as an appetizer dish to get things going, the conversation moving, with a mini gourmet Guinness lamb burger. It's a small burger that's topped with a sweet mango chutney. It's a bite size, it's a great conversation piece, and the taste is bar none, very, very, very good. I also had a shrimp cocktail. It's another conversation piece that people just enjoy having and talking, and you can, it's finger foods, and it's a great conversation piece to start a meal with. And the first course that I had that I started out with was a Guinness squash soup. It's a harvest picked legume puree with smoky bacon flavored. This time I didn't do the smoky bacon flavored. I just opted out on it just to keep the simplicity of the squash and the flavor of the Guinness to come through with this soup. It's topped with a little cream swirl and some flavored croutons that I had made prior to this evening. The second dish that people enjoyed and myself enjoyed making and sharing was Guinness Fiery Chili Con Carne. It was topped with a smoky applewood cheddar and is served on a bed of basmati. That, I think, went over very well.
It was beautiful.
And the taste comes through, just not as a normal chili, but there's different various spices in there that I mixed in my own authentication that I can call my own. The third course, by this time we're getting pretty stuffed, so we brought in the Guinness stuffed pork tenderloin. It was stuffed too. Everybody was stuffed, I think. It was stuffed with a cran apple walnut stuffing, served with a rosemary baby potato and a colorful vegetable medley. A great, great entree to end the meal. And as a special dessert, we had a Guinness cake to commemorate the 250 years that Guinness has produced this amazing beer. And we topped that with a little vanilla bean ice cream.
Now, Scott, you sound like a chef.
I sound like a chef. I guess it could be my experience coming through, but it's the passion that brings me back to the table and to the kitchen every single day.
Because in reality, on your day job, you don't spend your days in the kitchen.
Busted, I guess not. I'm actually a machinist for Lee Valley Tools, but my passion is the true colors comes out when I'm in the kitchen, and I love cooking, and the reward, just as a simple smile, is enough for me.
So when this event, the competition, got underway back in July or thereabouts, and you decided to enter, you said, this is a unique opportunity, why not go for it?
Oh yes, with my liking of Guinness and me incorporating Guinness in prior recipes, and I seen this, and I seen it be remarkable. I was thinking, well, you know what would be remarkable is to cook for a bunch of friends. And it doesn't seem remarkable for a lot of people, but I could have did anything. I could have put in any kind of entry, but what was tugging on my heartstrings was to cook for friends, to see them smile, laugh, and enjoy a day with some Guinness-inspired recipes was just over the top. Today I had a great time doing it, and I would do it tomorrow, I would do it tonight. If I had a chance, I would do it.
You know, there's another special aspect to today, because you got the opportunity to do your cooking here.
Yes.
In this kitchen.
Yes, beautiful place.
And we're at the Urban Element. Mm-hmm. Here on
Parkdale Avenue. Yep.
And it has a little bit of history for you.
It does. This, other than the historic fire department, which I'm not really involved with, but I had looked at this venue to purchase with two other people about 5 years ago, and was not in the best interest at the time because we had seen that the city of Ottawa had taken it over, but we realized that it was for the snowsuit fund, and I couldn't complain about that, and I felt overwhelmed by their generosity and people's generosity and the community living. So I kind of stepped away from that, but it came back as a kind of a small bit of my prayer. It answered that I could cook here today, thanks to Lauren Cosentino, Veritas Communications rep, that had searched out this venue. And when I heard it, I didn't know where it was, the Urban Element. And then I realized 424. Wow, that's the same fire hall that I wanted to purchase and cook in here myself. So yeah, it is a bit of a small prayer to answered, and it is a beautiful venue to cook in, and the staff is amazing. I would invite anybody, if they have a small gathering of 20 people or less, to come on over and experience it yourself, because it's definitely an exciting place to put dishes together. And like I said, the staff is more than experienced and very generous with helping me get organized in the kitchen.
Yeah. We're at the stage where we're going to enjoy our coffee. Mm-hmm. So, having seen the people sit around the table and have the smiles been on the face, now that we're at this stage in the experience, how has it been for you?
Priceless. it's a dream come true. It's a dream that I would wish that I could continue on a day-to-day basis. A little smile goes a long way, and in this time in society, that's all that pretty well people are needing some days, just a smile or a handshake or a hug or an invitation to a dinner meal that is just settled by a whole bunch of people that are around a table and sharing good times. For me, like I said, it's over the top. It's great. It's hard to put into words. When I think about it, it's been more than a blessing towards me, and I thanks be to God for that. Prayers do come true, and just keep striving for your best.
And when we were chatting earlier as well, I did ask you, you know, where's the Irish connection? And you tell me it's there with the grandparents.
It is with the grandparents from Eganville. Grandparents and the descendants of the Irish tradition. There's always potatoes and meat was always a staple at our dinner table, and I never forget about that. And I love my grandparents to death. Unfortunately, they are not with us today, but that doesn't mean that my heritage and my tradition isn't strong, and the pride is very strong in my heart. And I got a lot of that from them serving food and inviting people in. They had a fostering place, so they had a lot of different people that they hand out, and never really got a lot in return, only the recognition of just lending a helping hand, which I kind of like saying that I kind of did today, right, just through friends on more of a relaxed state of mind and that. But yeah, the grandparents were more than generous people, and the Irish tradition and Irish recipes that we used to belly up after a hard day's work in the fields and have a nice Irish stew is more than you could ever put into words when you tasted it. It was from my grandma's cook stove, and yeah, so, I miss that.
So, like you said, this was a dream come true, and we did chat, and you said that you spend your days now up at Lee Valley Tools, but I do know from our conversation when we were chatting over lunch, the real dream coming through and the real miracle would be that if you were able to transition and spend your time preparing food for other people on a daily basis.
Yes, that'd be definitely a passion and a goal that I haven't really grasped yet, but I'm striving for, and today just kind of brought it to life, and I'm very fortunate to share this experience. And I really do like machining, but I love my cooking, and that's a passion that I have, and that'll never go away.
Excellent. Well, Scott, thanks a million for... I'm honored to have been able to participate in this today, and I wish that you can get yourself into the kitchen in the long term. Thanks a million for being
here. Thank you very much.
She'd begin to shout, give the woman in the bed more porter, give the woman in the bed more porter, give the woman in the bed more porter before she wrecks the house.
So there I was, having a bath. It was fairly late, and I was just trying to relax. I had the radio on. I was listening to Vincent Brown. And the door was closed. I had locked it. It's stupid because I was there on my own, but I don't know. It's just a habit, or it made me feel a bit better, you know, more safe. And I was lying there, and I thought I heard something, you know, like someone in the house. Just not even a noise, just a feeling. You can just feel, you know, don't you, when someone is there. But I just turned off the radio, just to see if... And then I heard her. She was knocking on the door and going, "John! John!" So I leapt up out of the bath and I slipped and I took an awful... I went right over and really bruised my hip and my shoulder, and by the time I had myself sorted out, I got a grip and I eventually opened the door. But of course... And I know you're going to think I was dreaming or whatever. There was nothing there. But it was absolutely terrifying. And at the same time, I was completely frantic. Do you understand me?
And that was a piece from John P. Quinn's Shining City that's going on at Arts Court at the moment. I would strongly recommend, if you get an opportunity, a brilliant production. I got down there on Thursday night, and I'll give you more details on that. If I don't get to it today, we'll certainly tell you all about it tomorrow night. And we'll be back with you after these messages.
This is Chin Radio. Chin Radio 97.9. We broadcast in over 20 different languages. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You're listening to Ottawa's only multicultural voice. Chin Radio 97.9.
The Monterey Inn is your premier choice for an exceptional stay in a resort setting along the Rideau River, close to the airport and a short journey to the nation's capital. The Monterey Inn offers a host of features for the discerning visitor that includes meeting and conference facilities, an outdoor heated pool and a fitness center. Drop in and enjoy the fine dining experience of La Bodega Lounge. The Monterey Inn at 2259 Prince of Wales Drive, 613-288-3500 or www.monterey.ca.
The little Irish village in the heart of the Byward Market had its humble beginnings in 1992 with the now famous Heart and Crown, a second venue, the Snug Pub, since 1997. And then there's Mother McGinty's and Roisin Dubh, Black Rose, since 2001. They complete the Irish village, each a treasure in its own way. Visit the Irish village. We can accommodate groups of all sizes, private seating areas, spacious patios, and party rooms. Tell us about your special event and we will take care of the rest. 613-562-0674.
Hello, this is Sharon Shannon, and you're listening to The Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM.
I can wash out 44 pairs of socks and have them hanging out in the line. I can starch and iron 2 dozen shirts before you can count from 1 to 9. And scoop up a great big dipper full of lard from the drippings can. Throw it in the skillet, go out and do my shopping, and be back before it melts in the pan.
Thank you. Rest of your life.
I'm never getting married.
I just don't want to have kids.
I do.
I don't.
I do.
I do.
You don't have to be married to have kids. When I'm 30, I'll have a kid.
That's too old.
No, it's not.
There'd be something wrong with it. It'd be blind or retarded or something.
Well, it's 25 then.
I'm going to have two kids.
A nuclear family. And a husband and a house in Hull.
No. Sudden.
I'm going to live in Spain.
Are you?
I am.
See your dad?
No. He's not in Spain.
Where is he?
Siberia.
Is he?
That's what me ma used to say. I don't know where he is.
Probably over on the south side.
Get the you are listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM, and that was two little snippets from 32A. And to tell you a little about 32A, it's a feature film directed by Marion Quinn from her own script, and it was shot partially, principally in Dublin, with additional footage in Roscommon and Sligo. And the script won the inaugural Tiernan MacBride Award for screenwriting, as well as best feature. First feature in its premiere at the Galway Film Fla in 2009. And the story is set in the in-between time of a girl's life when she is no longer a child and not yet a woman, and we open with our heroine Maeve putting on her first snow-white bra, stepping out into the world as a young woman. Maeve and is played by Eilish McCarthy, and we were trying to get Eilish on the phone, but one of the group is Ruth Murray, and Ruth is played by Sophie Jo Wasson, and Sophie should be on the phone with me all the way from Dublin. Good afternoon, Sophie, and welcome to the Gaelic Hour.
Hi, thanks, Will.
And congratulations on this movie. It's going to be featured here on Thursday night at the European Union Film Festival here in Ottawa. Sophie Jo, a little background. What age are you, by the way?
I'm 18, actually. I just turned 18 about 2 weeks ago.
And this movie was, excuse me, this was shot when, in 2007?
Yeah, it was 2006, so I was 14.
Okay. And a little bit about yourself and a little bit about the movie. Have you been involved in theatre, and how did you get involved in a movie?
Well, basically, I've been going to drama since I was about five, and it was through that I just went to various auditions and stuff, and I don't know, I just eventually got it.
Right. And the movie itself and the part that you played, tell us about your part.
Well, I play Ruth Murray, and she's Maeve's kind of best friend in it and kind of support system and stuff. And I think she's kind of the leader of the group in a way. She has quite a rocky family life. Her dad's not in the picture, and her mom goes out quite a bit. So, she's a little bit messed up, but she's also, she's a really good friend, and, you know, she's always there for Maeve and everything.
Right. And Brian is Ruth's brother, is that right? No,
he's not. He's just the heartthrob.
Okay, he's just the heartthrob. Okay.
Yeah.
The movie itself, it depicts growing from being a girl to being a young woman. How did you find that experience, given that at the stage you were 14 and now that you've just turned 18, and in hindsight, as you look back over the last few years, how did you find the experience of the movie as the part you were playing?
I mean, it was pretty amazing experience, because, I mean, acting is, it's what I've wanted to do my whole life. So being given the chance to kind of do that and explore that and gain experience and stuff was pretty amazing.
Right.
And I mean, you know, the movie is set at that time when everything's changing and stuff. And we were 14, so it was kind of perfect when we fit into that, you know, pretty well. And it was easy to relate to because we were going through much of the same stuff, even though there was such a difference in, you know, the period of time that it was set and everything. But, it was quite easy to get into it just because we were that age and we were going through the same things. And so in that sense, it was quite easy, really.
And for your friends, and like, I know you're, you girls are all at school still, and it was easy to get you because it's a weekend. So from the point of view of a 14-year-old acting in a movie that ends up being on the global stage, that must have created a bit of a stir.
Yeah, well, me and Ailis were actually in the same school. It's weird. We're both actually in the same school.
Right.
And it didn't, I don't know, I think there's a kind of like mentality in Ireland that you don't really say anything when things like this happen. Like if you saw Brian O'Driscoll or something walking down the street, no one kind of goes up, no one asks for an autograph or says anything. So there was hype when we went to the film festivals, we went to the Berlinale, and that was kind of the hype we got. But I mean, in school it was pretty much life as normal. It didn't really change anything.
Right. And since the movie, have you done any more acting, and has this opened any doors for you?
I've been doing a little bit. I mean, I'm still at school, so I'm trying to kind of balance the two. I did, I'm currently in the clinic on RTE. It's an Irish medical drama that just finished up last week. And before that, I did some stuff in the Theatre Fringe Festival in Dublin.
Okay.
And I did kind of small roles in some other TV stuff as well.
Wow. So you're really getting into theatre as a career.
Yeah, it's definitely what I want to do. And definitely doing the movie was kind of a stepping stone to that, you know, being able to start so early and get experience and stuff, especially for getting into college. That's kind of necessary, you know, to have that kind of experience and stuff.
Right. So given the, when you look at the part that you played and the experience in that part, how would you, for somebody who hasn't seen the movie, and you were to kind of tell them a little about what it was, and what would you tell them in order to enthuse them and encourage them to say, you know, I really want to go and see this movie?
It's a really sweet movie, and there's a lot of movies, you know, concentrating on, you know, doom and gloom, and like, it's just really sweet. It's one of those things that you go to and you're immediately brought back to when you were that age, and especially for girls as well. It's just, And anyone of 14 or anyone who is, you know, that age in the 70s and stuff, it's a really, really nice film. It's really sweet and it's relatable. And, yeah, you should go see it.
Now, the other thing then is this was set in the 1970s and you were growing up in the 2000s. Based on what the script was and based on your experience, was there much of a difference in your real life experience as regards what the script was telling you?
Well, I think when you are that age, it really is quite similar across the board, no matter what time it's at. You know, every girl has that kind of group of friends that they're always going to be close to, and you know, you go through all the same things: first kiss, you know, first time drinking, all that kind of stuff. It's quite similar to what it is, you know, now, apart from technology and all that kind of stuff. But really, not much has changed, I don't think. So it was okay, actually. And the script was so brilliant, you know. So that made it a lot easier for all of us. You know, Marion's script was just brilliant. So that made it a little easier for all the actors.
Well, Sophie Jo, I have Marion coming up next, and I've actually successfully raised her on the line, so we're going to go and talk to her in a moment. I want to thank you coming on. Now, I have to ask you a favour, and this is the Joy of Life Radio. I've been trying to raise Ailish, and I'm getting a busy. If you have a text for her, or if you have a cell for her, could you ever send her a text or a cell and ask her to hang up the house phone that we're trying to contact her?
Of course I will, yeah, no problem.
So, is it the Joys of Live Radio? Because we're about to talk to Marion, and as soon as I finish with Marion, I'll be trying to get Ailish back on the line in about 7-8 minutes.
All right, okay, I'll give her a quick call then later.
As her line's busy at the moment, so I need you, if you have a cell or a text, it would be brilliant. Sophie Jo, thanks a million for coming on here on the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM, and it's been a pleasure talking to you.
No problem, thanks a
lot. As I said, and as Sophie Jo said there, Marion Quinn was the writer and the director of this movie. And it's principally shot in Dublin and also in Roscommon and Sligo. Marion, have I got you?
You have.
Good morning, or good afternoon.
Good morning. Good afternoon. I'm here in Birr.
And I know you've been having terrible weather in Ireland. We've been seeing that there have been floods all over the place. Didn't have a negative impact on you down there today.
No, it's fine. Actually, it's just sort of let up. There's been a little chink of light coming through here, so... We're okay.
we were just talking with Sophie Jo, and she
just came in on the end of it. I could hear her lovely voice. Yeah.
And yourself, excuse me, you live in Drumahair, County Leitrim.
Yes.
And you weren't born in Ireland, were you?
No, I was born in Chicago.
Yeah.
And my parents are from Offaly, in the hometown here today, and they did a lot of going back and forth, and my dad would have sabbaticals and we'd come back to Ireland. So I sort of grew up between Chicago and Dublin, and I spent all my teen years in Dublin, and then I really only came back to America as an adult, and then ended up in New York. And I actually thought I'd never leave New York. When I hit New York, I thought, okay, I've done enough moving around, I'm at home. But then I accidentally ended up here, so 10 years later, I'm still in there.
Right. So, doing and being involved in the movie industry and writing a piece like this out of an Irish context, operating from Ireland, how was that experience?
Operating from Ireland?
Yeah, because in an awful lot of ways, everyone thinks if it's not Hollywood, it must be very difficult. So, like, to write something that is very much an Irish experience and to produce it out of Ireland... have been a challenge in many ways.
It is a challenge, and we tried to make a film on a low budget, a very low budget, which was difficult. I mean, in the pre-production phase, we had difficulty getting a production designer because everyone who read the script said it can't be done for the money you have. So that we did face those kind of difficulties. But the other thing is that in Ireland, at least, we are lucky that we have an Irish Film Board, and we can get support from the Film Board and also from the European funds, which is not something that, when I was in New York, it's not something that, there isn't that kind of support for. Or the other thing is for developing a script, the Film Board is great for that. So there are pros and cons to it, but, there is a real freedom in having somebody write a check for you and say, here you go, now go off and make your film, which is what happens basically in Hollywood. Now, I know you pay a price for that, for the artistic, sort of integrity of the piece maybe, and you may not be able to make final decisions and all of that. So, I mean, there are pros and cons to both, I think.
I'm going to move you along, and now that we, in a way, what I wanted to cover as well was, this is semi-autobiographical, as I understand.
Yeah.
So, the movie itself, 32A, and as someone said to me, it's not the bus to Hoth.
But that does feature in the film. There is a bus.
Okay. Yeah. So, tell us a little of what inspired you to write this and turn it into a movie, and then the reaction that you've received from it.
Well, yeah, when I was a teenager, I remember reading Edna O'Brien's trilogy of books, The Country Girls, The Girl with the Green Eyes, and Girls and Their Married Bliss, and it was a kind of a sequential series of novels about two girls and taking them from their teens and up to their 20s. And I remember thinking, I'd love to do something like that for my friends and my generation, and kind of follow us and do the different changes, that girls go through. And that the friendship goes through. And so I decided that, you know, I didn't want to do the later teens, sort of like losing virginity, somebody getting pregnant kind of thing. I thought, well, you know, maybe something a bit younger, something that I hadn't actually seen before on film. And so it was really about a girl's first day wearing her new bra, and 32A obviously is the size of her bra. And so that was my reason for setting it at that time. And I mean, for me, I think the friendship between girls and women, sometimes those bonds are really strong. And I suppose it was my sort of ode to girls and just to that aspect of being a girl. And I wanted to, you know, have a look at that.
So you've been featured in many film festivals around the world. I know if anyone goes to your website, which is janeypictures.com, that's J-A-N-E-Y, pictures.com, you certainly have been successful in having your picture presented in many corners of the world. It must feel good. It must be a tremendous honor for you, and you must kind of feel that it was all worthwhile when you can see this happen.
Yeah, it actually, and that's the time that it does actually feel worthwhile, is when you're sitting in a packed auditorium and you can actually feel the audience reaction, and you know that they're really with the story, and then speaking to people afterwards. And we have had great response. I think sometimes in festivals, the material is quite bleak and challenging in that kind of way. So I think sometimes in festivals we got a lot of good response just from audience, just from the general audience, the people on the street, because it is it's a much more uplifting kind of story than sometimes the usual festival fare. So yeah. I think punters enjoyed that.
Right. So you've been involved in the movie industry and in for a long, again, you have a long length of or a list of credits. What are you working on now? Or have you anything in the pipeline?
I do. I mean, I have a script that's ready to go, and it's actually being we're funding it at the moment, and it's going to be shot up around in the northwest of Ireland, and it's actually something that I will be able to do on a low budget. It's just three characters, a father, son, and a grandson. And I'm looking forward to doing that. I think just with the way the economy and everything is going right now, I think I'm glad that we have something that's suitable to a low budget. So that's the next thing. But I'm also working on a love story that's set in New York, and I'm just working on my third draft here, trying to get it finished. And so I probably would like to shoot that then after this one.
So when it came to casting a movie like this, is there a good host of people that you were able to kind of audition? Because to come up with something like this, in order to make it work, it has to be the right people in the right characters.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's the thing. I think there is an unlimited supply of talented actors in this country. I mean, there was no shortage. Traditionally, and I suppose the Hollywood style of casting a film like this would be to put somebody famous in the lead role. Whether they're the right age or not, they seem to not mind. And for me, I absolutely wanted to have somebody who was 13. I wanted the girls to be that age, because I've seen enough films where Hollywood actors are playing teenagers, and I just don't buy it. So for me, it was more about them being authentic and having a natural quality that really made the film true, which was much more important to me than to have, you know, people who'd done a load of film or kids who had, you know, who were famous or, you know, who had a name. So, and I think that worked really well in the film, because I think people tend to really... Ailish and Sophie and Riona and Orla, like, they just really speak to people and women. And it's so funny, because after the film, people say, oh, my God, I was Claire, or I was Orla, or, you know, there's something very natural about them. And maybe, you know, it's because it was their first time and they were really open to it. And And we did take a long time casting and do a lot of improvising and workshops, and that's sort of my background in theater. And it was really, I didn't want them to work on the script. I didn't want them to learn their lines. I just wanted them to be free and to play and to be natural. And I knew that they would go home and learn the lines before the film started anyway, which they did. You know, they were very professional. But for me, it was more about casting, you know, people who could play somebody close to them, you know, just a character that they could identify with.
Right. You're going to have to do me a favor and apologize Taylish for us, because we haven't been able to get her on the phone.
Oh, no.
We've been, we've been getting the answering machine. And
oh, no. the joys of live radio. Huh?
Oh, I know, but it's fun. It is fun.
Yeah.
What would you say in the whole experience of 32A has been the highlight for you? If you were to put that there was one thing that has special, even before, during, or after, since, what would you say that is?
I think, you know, filmmaking is such a collaborative process, and I think for me, the joy of that collaboration is something that I'll just take away with me. I learned so much, but it was something that there were moments when I really felt like all the elements were coming together, and that was because all the people that I was collaborating with, it wasn't my film, it was all of our films, and I felt like we were all on the same page, and with my creative team, and I had such a great cast, and that to me was a real, it was humbling just to have that sort of collaboration.
And brilliant. Now, Marion, I'm going to wrap up here because we're coming close to the top of the hour, and I want to thank you for taking the call. And I'm looking forward on Thursday night to watching the movie. And it is at 9 p.m. here in Ottawa at Library and Archives Canada in the EU Film Fest. And I will have tickets to give away tomorrow night, so you better tune in and listen. We will do a giveaway, and we'll be back with you also at 10 p.m. tomorrow night. I'll let you go, Marion, and say thanks a million.
Thanks.
As I say, and I'm looking forward. This is Austin Cummerton here on Chin 97.9 FM. Sons of Scotland have their Scotland Tonight. That's at 2 p.m. And that is over at the Bronson Centre. And I will have this program up on the internet within about 30 minutes or thereabouts. And you can catch it as a podcast. And other than that, all I have to do is say to Dave on the other side of the glass, thanks a million for taking care of me this morning. Always when we do a program like this where we have live phone calls and all the rest, it has its challenges getting them set up and having them flow smoothly. And things went well. So, as I say, until tomorrow night, and I hope you enjoyed today's program. This is Austin Cummerton saying, Slán go fóill.